Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We're asking, who replaces Coach K as the best coach in college basketball now that he is retired? Is it Bill Self? Is it Jay Wright? Is it someone else? You can also hit us up on the Twitter feed at Key, Jay, and Max. Jay, I know you're feeling good this morning.
I'm feeling great this morning. You guys had no idea. When last night, watching that game, I looked at my wife and I said, yes, the universe is the way it should be. Carolina has lost.
This Welcome Back Cotter theme song you're hearing is because Evan, our producer, made a joke in the commercial and it was straight out of Welcome Back Cotter.
This is one of those things. Conversation. Second, see your way out.
That is the second Welcome Back Cotter reference of the day. First of all, Yates, our board op, played this song earlier in the show as a rejoin, right? So he plays this song, and then I make the joke. Max says, that's a joke, right, from Welcome Back, Cotter. And Yates says, what's Welcome Back, Cotter? He played the theme song from the show earlier in the show and then asked the question, what's Welcome Back, Cotter?
I don't remember that, so it must have been in my head somewhere.
Well, the song that I played was...
Play it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right,
yeah,
that's why I don't remember it as the Welcome Back Cotter theme song.
The vibe, I don't know.
But
what
the joke that Evan told was, this is an A-B conversation, why don't you see your way out of it?
So
which I love that joke, by the way, but it's something you would hear on Welcome Back Cotter.
So Pat and I were talking about the Masters dinner for Hideki Matsuyama tonight, who's the defending champion. He gets to pick the menu, And I was reading off the menu in the break, and Pat goes, man, it must stink if you're one of the golfers who's a Masters champion. You go to the dinner, and you don't like any of that food. And so we started talking about chicken wings, and Key said, chicken wings are terrible. And I said, hey, Key, this is an A-B conversation. See your way out of it.
No, he said chicken fingers are terrible. What's wrong? What you got against chicken fingers, Key?
The bread.
I mean,
the bread.
So you just don't want breaded chicken?
Why would you want breaded chicken? Chicken is not made.
Why not have breaded chicken?
If you're gonna have
bread, good.
If you're gonna go breaded chicken, then go chicken parm, and that's it.
Well, but then now you got all the cheese and everything.
That's fine. I'm not even talking about the calories and stuff. I'm just talking about the taste of it. I don't want breaded chicken unless I'm frying real chicken, like a leg and the wings, and I'm putting flour on it.
Sometimes you just want some finger
giraffe.
Food, right? And this
chicken wings, but chicken wings are disgusting to me.
Chicken wings are?
I mean, I'm sorry, chicken fingers.
Oh, chicken fingers. Okay. Not chicken wings.
No, not chicken wings.
First of all, anything your kids will eat.
If you look in
cuz we went out to
come on, man.
We went out to fight. You had chicken wings.
I didn't eat any of them. They ordered them. I didn't eat them because I was sipping.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We don't have to kill.
Chicken fingers are great. They're not messy. They're like chicken wings. You got to get your...
So wait, you don't eat chicken wings while you sipping?
No, I eat, but I was sipping and I wasn't focused. We was talking and it was a different deal. I ordered them and they didn't look that appetizing either because they were soggy, if you remember.
Yeah. Key, what do you think about boneless wings then?
No!
Yeah, that's
weird. If I want cubes of chicken, I'll cut up a breast and have cubes of chicken.
Where are you on mozzarella sticks?
Best ever.
But wait a minute.
This is confusing.
Hold on.
Stop.
Hold on.
Give me mixed messages.
Stop. The sticks are not my favorite. I like the square. I like them flat.
You like the kids' mozzarella sticks.
What's the square? What do you call a square? Chicken.
It's breaded cheese, though.
No, I know, but it's just in a different shape than the sticks.
Why can you have breaded cheese but you can't have breaded chicken?
That's what I want
to know. It's because mozzarella sticks are made to be mozzarella sticks with bread on it.
What?
Chicken is not made to have a thick crust.
You can just have a mozzarella.
If God wanted chicken with bread on it, he would have made a chicken with bread on it.
Mozzarella sticks, it's the best.
If you
got a
mozzarella,
the best. But you know what I mean? The square one.
The patty
at a restaurant
ones,
is the...
Wait, now I'm confused.
I would literally go find a place.
It's actually called a mozzarella plank.
Is that what it's called? A plank? I don't know.
No, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I just know it's
good. But it's good.
Evan, wait, now I'm curious. What's on the menu for the Masters ceremony?
Oh, hang on. All right. Yep.
Whatever you eat.
Hang on.
It's what the winner wants.
Well, that's not what the other guy says.
Hey, Bill, whatever you guys do. I thought I was prepared for that or not. Here it is. So assorted sushi, sashimi, and chicken skewers are the appetizers. Miso glazed black cod.
Oh.
Wagyu beef with mixed mushrooms and vegetables.
Oh, that's delicious.
That's ridiculous.
And
they should be happy
too.
About
and
this.
It's not even unhealthy, really.
And a ponzu sauce. And then this dessert. Just,
oh, my God.
The dessert is a Japanese strawberry shortcake, which is a fluffy sponge cake with whipped cream and strawberries. I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys ever had Japanese pancakes. But they are the, like, fluffiest things ever. You put egg yolks into the batter, and then when you
don't
make
yogurt,
they,
to
like,
this conversation.
Puff up.
Everybody, everybody cooks pancakes with egg.
Every culture's pancakes are awesome,
you whip egg whites. You, like, whip up egg whites almost like you're making a meringue.
Oh.
And you put the meringue, the whipped egg whites, into the batter, and they, like, puff up. And it's, they're called, like, Japanese pancakes.
Now, I'm actually thinking of scallion pancakes. I'm getting hungry.
Who wouldn't want this meal, though? Why would you not like this meal?
Who said they wouldn't like this meal?
Yates said he's allergic to
I can't help you, but I can't help you, then you won't eat.
Then go ahead and bring your own fried chicken.
Wait, what are you allergic to, Yates?
Whatever you eat, Yates, we'll bring it.
Wait, hold on. Name one thing you're allergic to there, Yates.
Just allergic.
The Wagyu?
Yeah, I'm cool on that.
Wagyu is cool. You only can have.
You're
a little
allergic
bit of it
to beef?
It's too buttery.
I don't eat it like that. I'm a very stringent eater.
That's not being allergic.
That's stringent.
What are you allergic to?
Tomatoes.
He don't know. He just don't like to eat.
You got a peanut allergy.
Stop using
this.
You're allergic. You're not allergic.
You know what he is? Tomatoes. For sure, it's allergic to tomatoes.
I figured you were allergic to tomatoes.
There's no tomatoes on here.
No, but a lot of people are allergic to tomatoes.
There's
so
no tomatoes on Wagyu.
Probably allergic to shellfish.
Right.
I'm allergic to shellfish.
Yeah, a lot of people. You're missing out life.
Sorry.
Man. I still do it, though. I just take Benadryl.
Are you allergic to
sleep? Why would you risk your life?
Because I don't put my kids down early, and then I go to sleep early.
It's ridiculous.
Extra rest. What? Sometimes you got to find a way to tap out.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, no. I can see where Yates, you know, Yates is one of those guys, reminds me of Chad Johnson. Chad, who is a professional athlete who doesn't understand good food?
Sounds like DK Metcalf.
You know?
Yeah, DK Metcalf, by the way.
Talk about his diet.
He has a big dinner, right? Otherwise, he has a coffee and 3-4 bags of candy.
I don't believe it, but okay, whatever.
I mean, I don't know how you could live like that. Speaking of DK Metcalf, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL insider, was on this show earlier. We asked him, will DK Metcalf be traded?
Metcalf is the player that teams are sort of watching right now because of Seattle and all the change that's gone on, and they moved on from Russell Wilson, even though they said they had no intention to. They just said they have no intention to trade DK Metcalf. So it's teams are at least calling, looking around on this. Seattle's sort of giving the vibe privately and publicly they're not going to do anything. So I think it would have to be an offer they couldn't refuse, which is possible. I mean, there's sort of a receiver war going on right now because like a boiling point because all these guys need to get paid now. They're a year away from free agency. But teams are a little scared of that because they're like, you know, if $20 million a year is the starting point for some of these guys, but there's so many good receivers in the draft every year, I think you'll see the Packers and some of these other teams that need a receiver. Be patient. See what happens in the draft. If they don't get the guy they want, then they could make a move on, say, you know, Metcalf.
All right, so Metcalf is out there. A.J. Brown could be out there, right?
Could be.
Rich Cimini is talking about the Jets keeping an eye on A.J. Brown. Where is AJ? Like, DK Metcalf, I get it, Key. He's an extraordinary physical talent who can have a big impact on the game, but sometimes goes away. So he's not in your very highest first tier of the top five, let's say. Where's AJ Brown for you?
Right around where DK would be.
Really?
Yeah. And maybe if he was a different quarterback, he might be able to do some stuff a little bit different, but right around there.
So a legit number one receiver.
In a passing league, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. That's what he is.
So he's a number one.
Yeah. A.J. Brown's a number one. Really?
He is a number one by default.
What?
Well, I would figure if you're top 15-ish, that means half the teams don't even have a dude like you.
See, but y'all, and I'm going to call y'all fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all, as fans, don't really understand what a one versus a two versus a three is.
Okay.
Just because you're the starter on the team doesn't make you – you're the one on that team.
Right.
You have nobody else to throw to. Max is there. He's the one.
Right.
That's what it is, opposed to a difference maker, a change, right? DK Metcalf, you mentioned. DK Metcalf's last year, just take 2021 season. How many 100-yard games you think he had, despite who the quarterback was? Just a guess. 17 games.
Half a dozen.
But wait. Go ahead. Can't you factor in the fact that they are a run-dominant team? Like we
no,
talked.
I didn't use Metcalf a lot in fantasy.
No,
I don't think he was. I don't think he had a good
game. I can't factor into that.
Because at the beginning of the season, you told me that they're not going to change up their system, even though they brought on Julio Jones.
I switched it. I said DK.
Oh,
not
okay.
AJ.
DK. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't use him very much in fantasy, which means he wasn't getting a lot of yards.
Wait,
probably.
Now I'm curious. How many hundred yards?
In 17 games, he had one.
One, yeah.
One in 17 games.
The year before, I bet you had half a dozen.
He had five the year before, but at the start of the season, so he didn't have one to like week eight.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And then he had one, then he went disappeared, and he had like a stretch of two or three big games of 171 yards.
How much
yards
of that is on the quarterback, Key?
It doesn't, like for me, no matter who your quarterback is, I'm going to still be able to be a major factor in our offense to the point where I don't disappear when I think about ones.
But wait a minute, you are the one talking about you might only have four catches for 60 yards, but they're influential moments in the game.
That's what you want. His was never really influential in the moments of the games. Although, with that being said, for the New York Jets, I would take him over A.J. Brown because I got Corey Davis. Mm. So I don't need Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, which are similar to me. I need a guy like D.K. Metcalf, who is a freak of nature, home run hitter, go get him, you know, kind of like a baby Megatron to a degree.
It feels to me nowadays like they're throwing around first-round picks for these guys, like maybe because a real good rookie – who's drafted toward the top of the draft is going to make
Chase
$5-6 million a year right away anyway. So for that, you might as well get someone, I guess, who you know will give you production and just pay him twice as much.
No, three times.
Three times as much,
yeah. Is it four times?
Yeah, four times as much.
So if I'm going to get DK Metcalf and I'm the New York Jets, it's going to cost me at least $90 million of guaranteed money over the first 3 years of the deal.
Why do that if there's a deep receiver pool in this draft?
Because I might not get a guy in his fourth, fifth year that is as nice of a threat as a DK Metcalf. I may go get a guy that I think is, and then what? So I'm stuck. Evan, what's the guy that the Jets had that was from Georgia Tech, the receiver?
Stephen Hill.
Like, I'm going to give me a Stephen Hill that I thought was going to be Megatron or somebody like that because of the school that he was coming from.
So
now I miss.
What's the right value for DK Metcalf? Like, if you can get him, what, 20, 25 million?
No,
he's not going to go, but that's what I'm asking you. What's the right
value? Yeah, if he settles for $25 million a year, you got one. You go ahead and do it.
Metcalf is still very young.
Yeah, young. It's only his fourth, going into his fourth year.
He's 24.
24 years old. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be Calvin Johnson, okay? Let me just say that right now. But it reminds me, in a way, when Calvin Johnson came out, he was arguably the most highly touted dude ever, right, at the position. People were losing their minds with Calvin Johnson.
Oh, yeah,
right?
For sure.
And the first set, he was very good right away. But there were dudes like Andre Johnson. There were guys in the league who were better than him, and people were kind of sleeping on how young Calvin Johnson was. So when you have a guy who's top 15, top 10 maybe, and he's young, doesn't that mean give him another couple years and he's going to be top five?
You should know by the fourth year what you got. Like, you should know.
You are what you are by year four?
Oh, absolutely, man. Ain't nobody all of a sudden in year six, the light bulb comes on. Because in year six, I'm already looking for somebody else to replace your ass. Because you're not giving me what I need. The first year, I'm not looking for nothing for you. Second year, you're going to be okay. Third year, you go a little bit of Pro Bowl type. Real Pro Bowl, not this.
Mac Jones Pro Bowl.
No, none of that. And then the fourth year, you becoming the best offensive player fifth year in the league. That's where you need to be.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get back to the NBA.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
One of the all-time greatest of the greatest, Magic Johnson. New documentary, They Call Me Magic.
So, Buck, this ain't that drama BS, that winning time. This real. This is,
no,
this is my real folk.
Yeah, this is the real. Yeah, it's the
thank
real
you,
one.
Key. Thank you, Key. I haven't watched one episode, so
me
I don't
either.
Know.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Want to take some calls, guys?
Let's do it.
Haven't done that in a minute.
Take some
Scott
calls.
Scott in New Jersey. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
This is definitely the best sports talk on TV. Let me say that first and foremost.
Right, that's what I'm talking about, baby.
And I know all three of y'all, I can't say how. That would have to be off the air. But I wanted to talk about the Lakers.
All right.
The Lakers used to have a team in 2004.
No, Scott knows all three of us, kids.
Scott, man, you had us looking at each other talking about, wait a minute, how you know all three of us?
Go ahead and take us offline and tell us what the real deal is, man.
Yeah.
That's offline. But anyway, 2004, they had a team, if you remember, with Karl Malone and Gary Payton. They got everybody together. The difference was they did have a still good Shaq, a still good Kobe, and they had a great coach. This team, all they got is just old people that have passed their prime, except for LeBron. And AD stays injured, and then you got the coach Vogel. They need to blow that team up. Nothing ever happened with the Lakers from this point. It's going to ever be positive, ever.
That's what I'm saying, though, Scott. Like, if you're LeBron, why do you want to stay around that?
Man, you can't. But the problem is, Jay, if you're asking for LeBron, he cannot leave. He cannot. And I understand the modern NBA and players got their own ways of doing things now. He cannot leave.
So he's a staple because his family's established. The
no,
business
he
and everything
can't.
Is there.
He can't leave. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you also, can't leave.
Also, he's still great. Like, he's talking about LeBron is still
because if you leave, you ran out on the Lakers when times got tough. And that would sour the Laker fan base. That's why when the conversation came up, if you remember when he was back in Cleveland for the All-Star break, he had to clean it up. Because it was like, well, wait a minute, man. The hell you mean you thinking about going back to Cleveland?
I'm just saying, why would the Laker fan base be all of a sudden something that LeBron's worried about? I mean, what was
because
the Cleveland fan base not enough? Was it Miami?
But he doesn't want to alienate Los Angeles.
He plans on making a life there.
Cleveland is always going to take him home.
That's fair.
Because it's home. They're going to always embrace him. L.A. is different. If you basically kick us when we down and run for the hills, we ain't got nothing for you. And you want to do business. Yeah, like it's a very awkward situation. It's almost like New York sports, right? If you poo-poo on New York sports as a player, the Max Kellermans of the world are going to hate you.
L.A. wants to know one thing. One thing only. Really, they forgive you anything else. Are you a Lakers fan? Yes or no, period.
Are you a Laker?
But like, even the Lakers got to be Lakers fans. LeBron can't leave him in the lurch.
No, you can't.
The real question is, LeBron James a fan of Rob Pelinka? And how does that relationship continue? Is that relationship salvageable?
Like, yes. Yeah. If it's fractured.
I'm just saying, I mean,
if it's
LeBron
fractured.
Has put out multiple times shots. If that was, you know, what Les Snead did with the Rams. If that was what happened with OKC's GM making those statements. There's been a lot of jabs about this now.
There's only one scenario I could see where LeBron turns his back on the Lakers. If he and Clutch decide we can buy that team if I go there, then okay.
Yeah, they ain't got enough money.
That's already set up for 2026.
Oh, you're talking about another
that's
team?
That's 2026.
Yeah, another team somewhere.
Lakers.
There's an expansion team coming to Vegas, 2026. It's already established.
There you go. If LeBron thinks that the opportunity to buy a team.
2026 is over.
I'm just giving you a reference point.
And here's the other thing about LeBron. Like, are we sure? I asked this about Giannis last year, because LeBron is the undisputed best player in basketball for so long. Now he's no longer undisputed best player, so the title's kind of up for grabs. I might say KD. You might say Giannis. Someone else might say Embiid. Someone else might say someone else. To me, LeBron is still in that conversation.
Yes. Yes. You can't remove him because you can't remove him individually because the Lakers are very bad as a team.
So he might still be the best player in basketball.
Absolutely.
No one is definitively better than him.
I keep saying that to people. They're like, no, man. I'm like, man, the dude is still ridiculous, man.
Put some shooters around the dude.
Well, that's why I said, when Jay's saying they got to do this, do that, I'm like, no. You got the banana. I mean, the
Sunday. No, you're looking for the banana. You're looking for the Caruso banana.
You got all three of them dudes, nice ice cream, right?
Those guys anymore.
You got a chocolate, a vanilla, in a strawberry. No, now you just got to get you a couple bananas and some peanuts.
You can't afford
Yes,
those
you
guys.
Can't afford Caruso now. World? You can afford the next Caruso.
Yes, you can afford the next Caruso.
You find the next Caruso.
Yes, absolutely.
By trading who?
Well, you know, you find
them. All those expiring contracts. For instance, is Stanley Johnson a good piece for the Lakers right now? Yes.
He could be.
So you bring him back. Well, I don't know. He's on these 10-day contracts or whatever. Now you give him a little nugget.
But you still got the same offensive problem, that is that Russ is a different version of Bron. And that's not – that doesn't – like you don't – and I hear what you guys are saying through the draft, but –
No, not
you need
necessarily through the draft. It could be through the G League. It could be through somebody
overseas.
Else's – somebody else's bad players. It comes all – not bad players, but low-end players. It's all about the scouting. Can you go find a – what was the guard that was with Golden State that used to be with the Clippers, Livingston?
Sean Livingston.
Sean Livingston. Yeah. Can you go find you a Sean Livingston?
Guys, you ever hear of red paperclip theory?
No, so you're going
to
tell us.
I am. So there's a guy who started with a red paperclip. He wanted to know, can I trade this thing to someone who wants a red paperclip for something slightly more valuable, right? And he traded it for like an old doorknob or something like that. And could he keep doing that? Where could he end up? He started with a red paperclip. He ended up with a house. The point is, you find... it took him years to do it, but
is this a real story?
It's a real story. It actually happened. So I think it was like a year's rent paid in a house, something like that. But the point is, from a red paperclip, the idea is you find someone who needs that thing you have and is willing to give you something in exchange slightly more valuable. You keep doing that. You can do that on the fringes of a roster with the little, as Key says, the bananas or whatever. You can find those things. Some other team has you have a nice fit for them. They could use a THT or whatever, and they give you back another little piece, but it fits better with what you got.
Yeah, exactly. THT, get out. See you. Peace.
Another national championship is headed back home.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Man, I was getting nervous about how late that game was on because we got to get up crazy early to do this show. And it was halftime. I want to say it was 10-12. 12 minutes after 10 was the last time I looked at the clock.
Yeah, it was late.
It was after 10 p.m., and the halftime had just started.
Why they go so late? What research tells them from college basketball that
bring in the West Coast?
Yeah, but that's okay because if
6:20 start Pacific time.
Yeah, you're trying to get as much prime time overlap between the coasts. I guess
but it's too late.
But it's not like this West Coast team's playing.
Yeah,
when was the last time a West Coast team actually been in the finals?
UCLA.
I said, when was the last time?
And wasn't it a couple years ago?
The UCLA was in the Final
Four?
About 4 years ago?
I think it was last year.
Wait, last year?
Pull up last
year. Not in the championship.
Not in the championship.
Well, was it? Not in the championship, but the Final Four. You said right. Final
no,
Four.
No, I meant like the final.
Oh, the
like
final.
The final.
Like Monday night should be, you got to be done but by 11 p.m. the latest. Come on, guys. This is nuts. It was so, like, you know, I'm fighting all. I mean, it was an exciting comeback, so it's keeping me up.
UCLA was in the Final Four last year.
The Final
Four.
Yeah,
Final Four. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like the championship.
Won a championship, championship game.
I mean, a championship game. I mean, Gonzaga, but, I mean, how many people are really watching from the West Coast Gonzaga other than the Washington area?
You know they say they yell at you for saying Gonzaga, right? You know it's Gonzaga. Gonzaga.
Whatever, Gonzaga. Aga.
I'm just saying. I've gotten handwritten letters to me from people like,
care.
It's the Zags, Gonzaga. I'm like, oh,
okay.
I got
Gonzaga.
It. It's the
Zags. I got it. Does that make it better, Gonzaga? No, Gonzaga. There you go.
I'm happy for Bill Self last night for a multitude of reasons. But also, I mean, the last time they won it was when Mario Chalmers made that crazy, crazy three-point shot. It's pretty insane. So it's just, I don't know, last night watching this team ultimately get there, beat North Carolina. Bill Self gets his second national championship. Now it starts the conversation about after Coach K retires, if he does retire, then who's the
he
coach?
He retired last year.
Who's the coach that carries the crown?
Jay, you do understand when Jay Will says if he does retire, people's
saying,
ears prick up.
Yeah, but he retired last year. He was, I'm retiring, but I'm still going to coach. Last year,
yeah.
He announced he's going to
this year. Yeah, right.
Year
he's going to retire, but he's going to coach one more season.
Yeah.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
What do you know,
I know nothing.
Who replaces Coach K as the best coach in college basketball? Is it Bill Self? Just won the title, second title. Jay Wright already got two. Or is there someone else?
Tom Izzo.
Rick Pitino. Is Rick Pitino still the best coach in college basketball? I know there's a history of things that have happened, but.
John Calipari.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting to me. Calipari's
is
in a situation now where he's kind of like the Yankees, right? Uh-huh. Yankees fans are like, oh, the last time we really won was 2009. What are we doing?
Yeah.
That's all you hear Kentucky fans talk about
you
every
throw
single
in
year.
Boeheim. Boeheim's all Boeheim.
Yeah, Boeheim. He's on his way out.
Boeheim, just like Tom, though, has won.
But it's what Key said earlier. When you have one and there's much, much less road ahead of you than behind you, it's different than when you have one and you're much younger
yeah,
and you got a lot of road ahead.
And
two is the max.
And so Jim Boeheim's been coaching at Syracuse since they invented basketball. And he's only got one.
You can get
needed Carmelo
one,
and a McNamara that year, too. Like,
no, but
you need,
I'm just
you
like, a, you, yeah. you only, I guess for me, if I've been doing it as long as some of these dudes have been doing it and I only got one, it's like,
you're not going to be you're in the top tier, but you're not in the you're not going to be number
one
on the list.
How great can you be?
Can I throw out two like you were talking about age then, Max? What about Tony Bennett, who's young and has
won? Yeah, has won.
Yep.
And they're kind of off the beaten path because they haven't really done much since their title.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scott Drew, who won it last year, also young and at Baylor. Like, where are those guys in this?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're not too far off when the max amount of championships that have been won are two. So guys like Tony Bennett, Scott Drew. I mean. Look, to be real, Scott Drew, I mean, these guys are supposed to be there. They complete a 25-point comeback against North Carolina.
But it's I feel like it's also about feel, too. Like the feel of the coach, right? The presence of the coach.
Jay Wright has that presence, so to speak.
It feels right.
Yeah.
Let me throw out another name. Hmm. What if Billy Donovan went back from the NBA to college?
Yeah. I literally was about to say that. I literally, gosh, we think alike. Too bad. I was literally about to say that. What if he went back to college?
Yeah, I got another one
for
you.
Chicago.
I got another one for you. Everyone, Key's going to bristle.
Yeah.
What if Mark Few wins one?
Wins
one. When the ceiling is two, and as soon as you get one, you're in the conversation, right?
Yes. So
and
get
given
one.
how many times he has now made a run,
yes.
If he got one, he would be right there.
But most, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, he's been coaching 23 years, I think it is.
I don't know the exact number.
Yeah, it's a 20 number, high to mid-20s, whatever. Yeah. He hasn't gotten one.
Yep.
These other dudes didn't wait 20 years to get one. They got it in that 15 range, so
to
speak.
But he also built something from nothing.
But you built it. It's been the same since you built it.
I'm not arguing now. I'm saying if he gets one, if he won one next year, because you know they're going to be high seed.
Yeah, number one seed in the country.
That's the thing about lineage and where you are. So how about the two finalists last night, Hubert Davis and Bill Self, have both succeeded Roy Williams.
Yeah.
Like, so think about, like, the establishment that Roy Williams left at Kansas that Bill Self took over for. And think about the establishment that Hubert Davis took over at North Carolina that Roy Williams left.
Roy Williams, the man.
Like, Roy, legend, yeah. Man.
Who was at Kansas before Roy?
Was it Larry? Larry Brown.
Larry Brown. Larry Brown.
Yeah, it's just crazy how it works out that way. It's wide open right now. As soon as you have the GOAT, maybe, right, who's sitting on five, who had a shot at six this year, as soon as he walks out the door, man, it is wide open.
Jay, you want to sign up?
For where?
A school. I don't know. Somewhere
to coach. Want to hear from Corey in New York real quick?
Absolutely.
Corey, you're on with Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Kiwi.
You've been hiding that, man. I haven't heard your voice in over a year and a half.
Yeah, well, I just don't normally say Kiwi anymore. I just say hi, guys.
I like the Kiwi thing, though. I think you should keep it going.
Okay, thank you.
So what you got?
The coach that's up deck. Well, first of all, Max, you're out of your mind about the NBA trade.
Thank you. See, thank you.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, right, because the Knicks have so much going on right now, as always.
Right, if they're going to give up everybody, you give up everybody for Damian Lillard. You don't give up for two old folks. They're not doing anything for Lakers, and I'm
but
a Lakers fan.
How do you know Damian Lillard's available?
And AD's not old.
And Damian Lillard's a 30-what-year-old six-footer, and I'm talking about a younger guy who's 7 feet and who just won a championship, by the way.
Can you please stop pushing or perpetuating this agenda? It's not working.
If AD came to New York and played 60 games, he'd be the most valuable Knick since Patrick Ewing.
If I hit the lotto, then, you know, like a lot.
Yeah, but he does play 60 games usually.
When?
Okay. Anthony Davis, I'm going to put up his numbers right now. Ready for this? Right now, we got AD's numbers. Let's see games played. So this year, 39. Last year, 36. Year before, his first year with the Lakers, 62. 56, 75, 75, 61. He has played 600 games in,
so his last,
I'm going to guess, 10 years exactly, which averages 60 games a year.
So his last...
Yeah, 10 years, 603 games.
But
he averages
60
games a year.
But his last three, he played 100 games.
But doesn't that mean he's kind of due to be healthy one of these years?
I hope so.
He's 28 right now.
Yeah,
he's
not like a guard. Like he's a big that has injury-prone... like body parts.
Okay,
man.
So if what we're saying is AD's days as an all-star are done, his career is winding down, then you're right. If you don't think that, then you do think at some point he's going to play 60-plus games
again.
What
do you think, though?
I think AD has been snake-bit recently, and even though I don't ever expect him to play 82, I expect him to play 60-plus games.
So you're telling me as a Knicks fan, you would do this move?
I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm just proposing it. Would you take AD if you're the Knicks, if it meant taking Russell Westbrook and they get to pick your roster for who they want? One NFL coach went off, and we're going to react to it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, guys, tonight's the Masters Champions Dinner, and the defending champ, Hideki Matsuyama, picks the menu, mm-hmm. right? But I'm not asking Hideki Matsuyama to pick the menu. Jay,
Key,
I'm asking y'all to pick the menu. Key, let's start with you since you're a chef of sorts, right? You're an amateur chef.
Don't be too detailed. Like, keep it high. Like, because you go into the granular details about what spices you'd be using. Just keep it high level for me.
What are we having? What are we having at the Masters if you're picking the menu?
He want to tell me how to prepare my damn
meal. I'm just saying you take too long explaining it. You know what I mean?
Well, sometimes people want to know how to make certain things, but I would go soul food to start with.
All right.
And it's in the South, so I would think that, well, I don't know, the players probably hadn't all had it, but you can't go wrong with frying up the chicken.
Sure.
Right? The collard greens probably would scare a bunch of them. They probably would think it's hot salad.
It's too salty.
No, it's hot salad.
No, collard greens got to be there. Come on.
Yeah, but yeah, so I got to go collard greens, I got to go mac and cheese, I got to go hot water cornbread. I've got to go candy yams. Not canned yams. Candy. Yeah, candy.
Sweet potato pies?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We need to get to the dessert part of it.
Okay.
So, you know, some people that want to fake healthy, I throw them a little green salad in there. Mm-hmm. Got to have maybe some sort of, when we get to dessert, I'm going to go peach cobbler. Yeah. I'm not an apple pie. I like apple pie, but I'm an apple pie guy. And then banana pudding. And then some tequila to wash it all down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, and I'm going to make the music right. I'm going to get some Al Green, mm-hmm. some Patti LaBelle. You know what I mean? Like, you about to come in here and feel
what's
our
on your menu?
I'm eating whatever Key's eating. Like,
all right, so
I'm
soul
not a cooker,
food
I'll tell you.
Masters.
Yeah, soul food, yeah, Al Green, Patti LaBelle.
All right, sounds good. I'm in.
Yeah, right?
I'm game with it, yeah.
I'm in.
Frying up that chicken, and then I'm going to have either some Red Rooster hot sauce mm-hmm. or Louisiana hot sauce. One
but
of the two.
Why are you washing it down with tequila?
Oh, what, you want me to get some yak?
Yeah, you could. I mean,
what you want? Wine?
You want wine?
Nah, just like
you
know,
cab guy, a little Shiraz.
I just do light beer, man.
Nah, I mean, we'll have a
I'm
full
not
bar.
Beer
Let's
chicken,
just put
yeah.
it that way.
I'm light having beer,
beer.
Chicken.
But
I'm
when you, I want something to cut through the grease and everything, and also like be a little refreshing, and you know what I mean.
Yeah. Collard greens gonna knock them over though.
See,
they
gonna,
man,
little
got,
little bite. You bite it, it bites you back a little.
Y'all ain't gonna want to sit next to me if I have beer and chicken.
No.
Not little, with the IBS I have.
No. I see.
A little smoked turkey in them collard greens.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Man, I had some greens.
Who was that?
That's lovely.
Killer.
Thank you for that image.
Killer the other day.
Y'all smell that?
Man, stop.
Oh,
man.
Gross. We're back in how much time we got, Yates? Okay.
You keep expanding. There you go.
No, I'm just gonna tell you at this point, I'm vamping.
2 seconds now.
G-Sean, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. So this is Choose Your Own Adventure. You get to vote at Key, J, and Max on Twitter what you think the topic on the last segment should be, and then we talk that topic. And the winner of that vote, are we going to actually see the numbers, or you want me just to go straight to the winner, Evan? Do we have the numbers? We do. We do indeed have the numbers. Okay, ready for this? It's a pretty close race. 21% wanted Coach K's return, 24% the Lakers and the Nets' future, 25% the wide receiver watch, but the winner with 29%, Pete Carroll, goes off. Let's listen to what Pete Carroll had to say. This is from Adam Schefter's ESPN Senior NFL Insider, of course, Adam Schefter's podcast.
One person said, and I quote, "He just went off. He was saying you can do anything. But until owners get to know these candidates before the actual interviews and understand that they have to hire people who are different than them, it's not going to really change." And nobody challenged him on it, but I'm told that people were not happy that Pete Carroll sounded off about the owners.
Okay, so that's obviously Schefter reporting what Pete Carroll said. Nevertheless, Pete Carroll ain't wrong. You know, this what it boils down to, like you look at Tampa, It boils down to individuals making choices, right?
Well, I've always said, though, until the owners have an opportunity to sit in a room and get to know the individuals that they're interviewing and feel comfortable with that, they're going to always struggle. I mean, because they could sit back and not have to engage or deal with certain people that's not from their upbringing. And I say this all the time, and I'll say it again. How many owners in the National Football League do you honestly think deal with black people on a daily basis that don't work for their team? Friends.
Yeah, well, first of all, how many people do they deal with on a daily basis that aren't dependent upon them for their livelihood, right? Probably number is small, and then within that number, how diverse is it?
You can make that point for Fortune 500 companies, yet alone the NFL.
So they're uncomfortable. Like,
this is what I find laughable about all this, that it's create a stir where some owners aren't happy. This is not the first time that we've had these type of conversations. Is it the first time because a coach in the league has pointed it out that makes you angry enough for there to be a report that states that owners aren't happy about that? And by the way, if you're owners, why would you ever want something like that to be out there that you guys aren't happy about what Pete Carroll has said?
Well, it's not all 32 owners, right? There's going to always be out of 32 owners, family groups, there's always going to be a handful that don't align themselves with the same thought process. And I know we live in a world, Max, where you're like, well, everybody, we should be past that. Well, you're not. I'll say it again. Yeah. The reality of it is, how many people, I was just in West Palm Beach the other day on vacation, and I was just checking it out, just looking at it. A lot of owners, you know, they got second and third homes down there, whatever the case is, they frequent that area. They actually have the owners meeting at the Breakers resort down there. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, in my mind, and I was saying, I was just like, just laughing, because I can't imagine them being down there and hanging around only people that look like them.
Can I say something about this, guys? It's even worse, I think, than people realize. Let me just break this down real quick. The basic fault line in American discourse and the conversation about this along kind of ideological lines, right, like right-left, is on the left, people like to point to systemic issues. It's the way it's set up. It's the history of our country, etc. And on the right, they like to talk about personal responsibility. Here's the thing. And by the way, both are legitimate things to talk about. I would tend to agree with the side that talks about systemic problems more. But obviously, personal choices do factor in. They're both legitimate topics of conversation, right? Here's the problem. The NFL tried to address this in a systemic way, right? They tried to address it with a Rooney rule. And they're certain, and they strengthened it. And it hasn't been enough. And this is what's so damning about it. It hasn't been enough because of the personal choices that the owners are making. This boils down to a handful or a couple handfuls of extremely powerful people, almost exclusively white, who consistently make choices. In Tampa, we see it's different because individuals have made different choices.
Mm-hmm. It's bizarre, Max, and you know, I know we talked about this topic not long ago, but it just brought to my mind the Denver Broncos situation in terms of them selling the team. So the guidelines that are in place to buy the team, I don't know. Did you see it?
It's
ridiculous.
It's a lot.
It's ridiculous, the guidelines to purchase a team and how you got to go about doing it based on economics, how much you have, where the money is coming from. You can't put a group together to purchase the team, because the group that you have to put together, the individual who is the majority owner has to have a certain net worth to be able to do it.
It comes down to Bezos and Elon Musk. Those are the two
who are going to do it. Seriously. Yeah. So you automatically are X-ing anybody out that are thinking about purchasing a team, because you don't want Oprah and Jay-Z and Tyler Perry to put a group together of another five people to join them to go purchase the team, because you know they got high net worth, but they don't have individually the amount of money that you think you need to qualify
to buy the team. Almost no one does
except
anymore.
Those people. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, because if teams are now $5 billion and you need four times the net worth of the team, you need to have $20 billion in assets to buy a team.
And by the way, the entry fee into the market is still low comparative to where it's going to be in 2 years from now.
It's just
crazy. Sporting rights is only going to go up.
That does it. I'm out. I was going to buy a team, but now it's out.
That was just put into play. One of my buddies texted me last night, and we were going back and forth, and he was like, we should just put a group together and go. I said, man, not a chance. We can't even put a group together to get a damn hotel room. Are you out of your mind? They're not touching us.
Yeah, group. Oh. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay, congratulations on UNC
losing. Thank you. Big win
for me last night. It was a big win for you after the debacle.
After Saturday.
Nice working with you,
Saturday,
Greenberg. See you tomorrow.
Yes,
good
Greenberg.
Job,
you call me Greenberg. I don't take that as an insult. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, Max, ESPN Radio. We're out.
Perfect. Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.